106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2RDJ, the only Gadget Grill that you'll find in the Southern Hemisphere that currently has sunglasses on every person in the studio, which is both of us, which explains why we just played that... No, it doesn't explain why we played that Blues Brothers bit. Why did we play that Blues Brothers bit?
Why not? We're on a mission tonight.
Are we on a mission?
We are on a mission tonight.
What sort of mission are we?
We're going to see the light.
That was a nice echo, wasn't
you
it?
Like
that. That was cool. Can you hear it again? Because like,
we're going to see the light.
That's a really good echo. My name is Lee Stark.
I'm Gary Stark. Good evening. Welcome to the Gadget Grill here on 2RDJ FM 88.1. We're going to be here entertaining and educating you for the next hour.
Whoa. You just said we're going to be here entertaining them. That implies that we have some sort of plan, some process, expectation that we have to actually do something to make these people laugh, cry, enjoy a bit of pathos and comedy in their lives. You're lying.
Well, pathos, we're
okay,
pathetic.
Okay, we're pathetic, so yeah, I guess that's fair. Tonight on the Gadget Grill, we are talking about the light. In fact, if you've tuned in, you get to hear the light instead of see it. Tonight we're talking about torches, because believe it or not, would you stop stop shining that in my face. It's really not fair. It's bad enough that you flash me as it is. I'm just going to leave that one alone.
Yes.
tonight we're talking about torches, because believe it or not, flashlights and torches have evolved in technology. And as Father's Day starts to approach, well, we can't think of any good things to buy parents.
Well, this is the special Father's Day edition, because we're going to give you some suggestions as to what you should perhaps consider buying your dad as a present for Father's Day.
Yes, but you want me to buy you something, don't you? This show is your ploy of saying, Lee, you have to buy me something. Well, you know what? I'm broke, so no, okay?
I have it right here.
I'm not buying you that. I'm not buying you that. If you want a $2,000 camera accessory, you go buy it yourself, okay?
We'll come to that later.
Right now, we've actually got some new Scottish rock, because I've been listening to random Scottish people this week.
So this is a rock that came from the loch.
It is a rock that came from the loch. This is some rock music from the Scots. These are We Were Promised Jetpacks, which I think is a beautiful sound.
It's a great
name, especially for a show like this. And this is It's Thunder and It's Lightning. It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2RDJ, the voice of the inner west, the one that's actually lit by 1,000 torches right now.
Yes, that one.
And you can hear us if you're listening to us on a light-based radio telescope thing that probably doesn't exist. I'm sure there's something like it in
real life.
Well,
you could be listening to us via laser and... fiber optics.
Very much so. And if you
that
are,
would be entirely appropriate.
You might be able to tune in using 88.1, but if you are using a computer, like most of society these days has computers, you can also head to www.radio2rdj.com, the station's website, who proudly lets us run this shambles of a program, and hit the stream so you can hear us on there, or a lot of the other programs that are run on the station, as well as if you wanted to find out about any of the other shows that we put on, which is a fair amount so far. We're coming up soon to our anniversary, you know, in a few months. Oh, that feels wrong. Anyway, you can head to www.gadgetgrill.com.au. Right now, we've got some news. Who wants to start?
You can start, because you've probably got more items than I have.
I don't have that much more, but I will say this has been a big week for Sony.
Yes.
Yes, you're just agreeing with me, aren't you?
I'm just agreeing
okay.
with you. Okay, yeah.
This week, Sony announced that they will be replacing the PlayStation 3, which hasn't been doing it. It hasn't done as well as they'd like, mostly because it's
Never
a $700 video game system with a Blu-ray player, that's a pretty high price to pay. Well, the new one is smaller, it's thinner, and it will cost $500 Australian when it comes out here. I think it's late August, early September-ish. I don't actually have the details right here. Sorry about that. It will not have PlayStation 2 compatibility, so anyone who is in stores, and I've seen people who still say, yes, the PlayStation 3 has PlayStation 2 compatibility, no. It doesn't. It's gone for good. Interestingly, though, with all of this, Sony are also re-releasing a new version of the PlayStation Portable, their sort of like Nintendo DS sort of system. And even though it sort of competes with the Nintendo DS, and this new one doesn't use the cartridges based off mini disc technology, this is going to cost $449 in Australia, which means it's $50 less than a Blu-ray player with the PlayStation 3's gaming support. No, that's just really bad.
Right.
It's dangerous as hell. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, a group of researchers in Switzerland have had the bright idea to augment robots with a new artificial neural network.
When you say neural again, I don't think you get that right.
An artificial neural network.
Okay, thank you.
That lets the robots learn a host of new abilities, including scheming, lying, and deception.
Wait, you're telling me that not only do I have to deal with regular people lying to me and stealing things from me, I also have to deal with robots possibly plotting to steal panels from an art gallery.
Yes.
Is that what you're telling
me? These particular robots, when they were younger, they would flash a light whenever they found food to let their buddies know where the food was. But, of course, that having let the buddies know where the food was, the food would be consumed.
Okay, of course.
Okay. So, after...
Wait, why are robots eating food?
I don't know. That part isn't mentioned here. However, after a few tweaks from the researchers, the robots apparently discovered that they could keep more of the food from themselves if they didn't flash the light.
Okay, I've just got this really strange comment to make. Has anyone who researches in these places not seen movies where robots destroy the world, like, I know, Terminator, pretty much every sequel to Terminator, The Matrix? This is a bad idea, giving robots the ability to lie to people. The robot is our friend, but he is not our friend. It's a little bit...
What are you doing, Dave?
It's a little bit like that, isn't it?
What
yeah.
are you doing, Dave?
This week, a company announced a scalable motherboard. These new motherboards are based on ARM chips, and they're modular and modifiable, and I don't have a whole lot of information here because I'm mostly bullshitting. No, I'm not. Actually, this is really the case. It looks like it'll be mostly for, or could be used for games and for LED things and for stuff, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm not doing really well tonight.
No, you're not. I wasn't going to say that.
Yeah.
I wasn't.
You're rigging up something to try and make me sound ridiculous. I can see you there. You have to operate more quickly if you want to get by my radar.
Oh, no. I'm not doing anything. I'm just being my normal...
Yeah, of course you are. I'll move on to another piece of news. Someone has created yet another useless gadget, and we're going to announce in the news section. It's a mouse to make everyone a DJ. It's like a DJ jog wheel for your computer.
I saw that.
Yeah, and it's so you can scratch.
I'm trying to work out what the logic of that is.
I think it's so you can scratch and mix using a computer mouse, and I don't know. I mean, does anyone really want to make music with their computer using a mouse? I mean, that's why you got a keyboard synthesizer or an electric guitar. Are you going to actually read any news, or are you just going to click
there? Yeah, no. I've got another good news item
here.
Okay,
good, because I don't have good news items this week. I've got pretty bad ones.
Well, as you know, Microsoft recently lost a legal case against a company called i4i.
I did not know that. Why did they lose that?
That relates to the XML standard and the inclusion of XML in Microsoft Word.
Oh, yes.
And the basics of this decision are such that Microsoft has been ordered to remove certain features of XML from within Word 2003 and 2007.
Are you telling me that the very format I've never liked, Word X or Doc X and
S- It has been declared illegal in America. They've been ordered to remove it or to stop selling Word.
really, Microsoft stopped selling Word. Somehow I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, Microsoft is lodging an appeal against it, and they've listed four reasons why the judgment against them is foundation.
Can I attack these reasons? Are you going to list them so I can attack them?
Well, okay, yeah, I'm going to list the reasons. These reasons Microsoft listed, and you'll love a couple of them.
All right.
Okay, the first one is that they stated that the district court committed legal errors in regards to the judgment.
I don't even know if they did or not, so
okay,
I can't say.
Yep. This is beautiful. You'll love this one.
Just say it already.
The company will incur irreparable damages if its flagship product is removed from the market.
I thought its flagship product was Microsoft, was Windows.
So did I, but hey.
Yeah. I guess Windows 7 doesn't mean anything
but
to
isn't them. But isn't that part of the risk of having a business?
Yeah, I guess so.
Apparently, i4i's main product, which is an add-on to Word, will not be affected by the outcome regardless.
Good.
Okay, but this is the best one, the fourth reason. This is the best one. Microsoft indicated that the public would face hardship. If Word was taken off the market for an extended period.
Are we going to go into a Great Depression because we
won't? So it would seem, according to Microsoft.
But what about other applications like OpenOffice that's available for
free? Yeah, we're going to suffer hardship
and
Google
Docs.
I know. We're going to suffer hardship if Word is removed from the market. What a load of crap.
This next story is a little bit heartbreaking.
I'm upset.
Yeah, Polaroid is dead. The Polaroid instant camera is now officially dead. And
that is sad.
And it's now going to be incredibly hard to find the 7.79 type film that existed for the Polaroid film. They are literally, for the most part, dead. There's a possibility that someone wants to raise money to start the factory again, but yeah, it's not very good. We also tried this week some new phones, didn't we?
Oh, we had to play with some new phones at the Samsung phone launch,
mm-hmm.
And there were a couple of very interesting phones there.
Yeah, this week Samsung decided to launch about four new phones.
Five
new phones. Sorry, I wasn't counting that day. I'd obviously had too much to drink.
Yes.
And one of them is actually an Android-based phone, which actually didn't look too bad. The Galaxy, isn't it?
Yes, it was the Galaxy. The Android-based phone, to me, it's the best implementation of Android in a cell phone that I've seen, in a mobile phone
mm-hmm.
that I have seen so far.
Yeah?
It was very, very good.
Android is Google's operating system for those trying to keep up.
That's right. But the other one that really, I think, caught both of our eyes.
The HD Icon, isn't it?
The Icon HD.
Yeah, I'm going to always mispronounce the order for that. Which is a new, it's not, I wouldn't say it's an iPhone copy because it uses Symbian, which is the operating system that Nokia have been using for a long time. But it looks like it's an effective version of it. It sort of looks like the phone Nokia wished they had created.
It is the best, one of the best implementations of Symbian that I've seen.
And it records in 720p video for the actual, wow!
The other thing that I thought was interesting was that it lets you have you could actually watch high-definition videos on the phone or transmit them wirelessly.
Using DLNA, of course,
To DLNA
enabled devices like
a flat-screen TV.
Or a Blu-ray player, yeah, yes. Absolutely. It's a very cool sort of thing. Other news also is that Windows Mobile 7 might be delayed even further. A lot of us had hoped that Windows Mobile 7, which was expected to be the iPod Touch, the iPhone sort of version of Windows Mobile, would actually come out around the same time as Windows Mobile 7, but we're still waiting on Windows Mobile 6.5 to really hit devices,
yeah.
So the rumor right now is that Windows Mobile 7 will take until the end of next year.
What about the new toys that we saw, the Sennheiser headphones and the ViewSonic projector?
The ViewSonic projector is interesting, and ViewSonic also have some netbooks coming out, which come in sexy yellow and black, I got to admit. That did take my attention. But we got to see some 3D technology this week in a projector, which, while it's kind of creative and cool, you'd end up having to spend around $2,000 just to get four people watching 3D on a projector.
Okay.
I'm a little bit unsure about that.
We better get on and play some music.
We better get on with some music. And this is is she Texan? She's a Texan blues woman,
She's
I think.
Texan,
She's
yes.
a Texan blues woman. She's a phenomenal artist, and you can hear that in her track. This is Ruthie Foster with Phenomenal Woman.
Pretty women wonder where my secret lies. I'm not cute, a built-to-suit.
Check this out! You've been working hard all morning and now it's time to relax for lunch. What better place than with your pals in the shed? And what better shed than the one right here on Tuesdays on 2RDJ between 1 and 3?
So please, come and join Peter Worthington, that was him, and me, Gary Stark. We're your pals in the shed on 2RDJ FM 88.1.
And don't forget your lunch.
You see, we're on a mission from God.
Radio 2RDJ, this is the Gadget Grill. And you know, one of these days I'm going to pull that computer deck away from your control so you can just stop rigging this up like your own freaking funhouse, Dad. I really am.
Okay, go for it.
Yeah. One of these days I'm going to learn how to learn these decks, and I'm going to control it on my Hackintosh or something, you know?
You're welcome to do it anytime you like.
We should get into the thing here, because into the feature, because it's big, and I know I criticized you last week on being able to cut down information in the interviews, but
I
just did as bad a job. It's not so much as a bad job, it's just that when we spoke to Glenn Currier, who is the person who we're speaking to tonight, he had so much interesting stuff to say about torches.
Which is the same thing with Jeff Cripps last week, of course.
I guess, yeah, I never expected torches to actually have an evolution of technology.
So, well, as we said, this is the Father's Day special. We're going to listen to Glenn Currier from Wolf Eyes Torches, who's going to talk to us about torches and the technology that they use today, because they've come a long way.
I'm going to shine this in your light while we'll shine this in your face while you
shine this in my light. Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, Glenn. Thank you, mate. Tell us exactly, what is a tactical torch? Can you describe that concept to us? Some of our listeners may not be aware of it yet.
Generally, a tactical torch is one which is viewed as both small and very high output, and it was originally designed to be used by police in, let's say, high-risk warrant situations and things like that. So they had a very modest-sized torch that they could either mount to their firearm or carry in their hand, and it would give all the amount of light which was available in a much larger torch, but in a smaller package, for a couple of reasons. A, so they could see what they were doing, and secondarily, so they could use that as a weapon against the offenders without actually hurting them or having to hurt them, because obviously a very bright light, it is quite effective in reducing someone's vision at some stage and gives them those few seconds they need to introduce that element of surprise. What's happened since there, these torches are now used in all sorts of situations which wouldn't be viewed tactical. Probably most common to your listeners is they see them on CSI and a lot of the American TV shows. They're very compact torches, generally about 15 centimetres or less.
Right.
That's a big
difference. Output, yeah. Say, far more than, a Maglite, which your listeners would be familiar with.
Yeah, well, the Maglites have always been the standard by which everything is judged. They're solid and they're reliable and they've got good output. But what you're saying is these ones produce a lot more output and they're even smaller, Glenn. Is that right?
That's exactly right. They're much smaller in terms of size. As I said, around about... So one of our smallest models would be about 8 centimetres in size, and would probably about the size of a lady's lipstick. That one's often used by a lot of our professional users as a backup light, and it would produce, say, from 0 to 50 metres as much light as, say, the largest mag light you could buy. So it's pretty amazing when you've got something which is basically the size of your finger producing that much light.
That's pretty impressive.
It may be a little bit larger, say 13 centimetres would produce, you know, 2 or 3 times the light of a mag light. But also there's a couple of other things. It's the intensity of the beam, and most of your users of a mag light would have noticed in the past that when you adjust them, there's still a few black holes in them and things like that. These lights are designed not to have that, so that they have a perfect beam. They have a very bright hot spot, and then they have a large amount of spill light around that, and there are no black holes in it at all, so which is great for professional users, but also for casual users as well.
It gives you a good spread of the light, so you can see what's around, as well as your primary target, in other words.
Gary, that's exactly right. You almost sound like you've worked in the force yourself.
The force is strong within this one.
Yeah. May the force be with me.
Yes, it's target acquisition, so that if your primary target moves, they're still within your spill light and you can redirect the hot spot of the light towards it. And of course, the other thing is with these lights, they have varying intensities. It's, most people are used to a torch which is on or off. These days, this style of torch provides different levels. So you might have a high, medium and low level, and as well as that, a strobe, which for a civilian user is great in an emergency situation. It's generally used in a tactical situation to disorientate an offender. So it's because it's the closest I could describe it for someone who hasn't seen it, and these are, there's actually photos of these on our website, which is wolfeyes.com.au. But if you have seen the pre-flashes on the camera before it goes off, it's very similar to that. Okay. And of course, where a camera that stops after 5 or 10 seconds, this goes on and basically till the person has epilepsy or it's so frustrating, foaming at the mouth, and leave this on for hours.
Right. It was actually going to make me ask, because the concept of the strobe as the disarmer sort of reminds me of the flashbang used by SWAT forces and SAS and armed forces around the world.
Very, very similar. Exactly the same concept. Flashbangs used to basically throw in first and disorientate someone. The idea, in fact, when we sell these to units which will be going in first and really will be doing a lot of forced entries, we actually set their torches up to go on first as strobe. So what would happen, let's say they didn't use a flashbang but or did, at the next moment they would breach the premises, and at that point they would have the lights all flashing. So the person may be asleep in bed at 5 a.m. and the next moment there's half a dozen burly guys with what looks like a disco going on in your house.
Which is going to give me an extra use for it anyway. If you set up one of these in your home, you've got an automatic strobe light.
Do they come with a mirror ball, Glenn?
I think that'd be a great idea for the right sort of individual.
Right.
Now, come Mardi Gras, you'll be great.
Yeah. Okay, now, with the sort of intense beam that these put out, what about power usage? They must use a lot of power. They must, how are they powered? Because
can I put my double A's in it?
Well. Basically, do you need an external power pack? Do they work off a AAA battery or what, Glenn? Please.
Interestingly, what's happened here, and this these torches have paralleled the development, which has happened in computers and notebooks, really. Originally, when these torches were first designed 20 years ago, they used camera batteries because they were the most energy-dense batteries for their size at the time.
Okay.
Since then, notebook technology has really moved along, so we actually use notebook batteries. And the reason we use those is they're lithium-ion, they have great long-term storage, so that you could, and they're rechargeable, which is very good in Australia because camera batteries are very expensive here.
Yep.
It means that you can, and they have very low self-discharge. So the great news about that is that a user can charge the battery today. In a year's time, they'll probably have 80 to 85% of that power still available. And in 5 years' time, they'll have 60% available. Now, that's a tremendous amount, and it also makes it a great emergency torch. So if it's not pulled out for a long time, it will still be ready. The other advantage we have, as well as having those very powerful batteries, is our power management. We actually have a regulator built into the torch, which regulates the power usage to the LED, and they're very, very efficient. So a very small torch, say a 13-centimeter torch, which would be producing, say, double the power of a mag light, on high beam will last for 2 hours, 20 minutes. Now, that's quite amazing from a modestly sized torch. But we also, if we move to a medium or a low, it will run for 9 hours on the medium level or over 90 hours on low. So it's a tremendously long time, again, by those two technologies working together.
90 hours out of a battery on a torch. That's absolutely incredible.
And strangely, it actually gets more involved in the interview coming up after the break, because I could cut it down so far. There's actually a lot about technology. Before then, we're going to listen to some deltery, bluesy, rocky stuff. This is the Black Keys with Set You Free. 88.1 Radio 2RDJ. This is the Gadget Grill. Getting back into the interview with Glenn Currier from Warfire's Torches about how the technology has progressed over the years.
Yes, shall we carry on?
Yeah, we should.
Okay, so what about the actual light technology? Because obviously light technology has changed over time. Originally, a lot of torches used things like the regular sort of tungsten or halogen.
Not even tungsten, just an ordinary
just a light bulb. Yeah. So obviously it's changed. And these days you see in markets, you see these crappy LED lights that work for about 10 minutes and then stop working and you curse the person who sold it to you.
I've done that many times myself, Lee. I know exactly what you mean. What's happened is the technology in lights has gone in leaps and bounds, and it's really happened over the last few years. For a long while, the incandescent globe was the king of torches, and even in the first few years of LED technology, it still was by far a superior technology. And probably about 4 years ago, quality LEDs, were able to match what an incandescent globe it can do. 2 years ago, especially in the smaller size, LEDs got to the point where they exceeded the globes. And quite now, it would be quite reasonable to expect in a very small torch, an LED could probably be three times as powerful as the globe in the same situation, which is really quite amazing. And this tends to change, it's funny, very similar to computers, around about every 2 years we see a reasonable jump. There's progressions all the time in relation to the technology of the LEDs. And the nice thing what we have with our torches is that we can actually remove the LED and upgrade it. So that if you had a brighter unit came out in 2 years' time, you can just put the LED in, which is a nice sort of facility to have.
One of the things I'd like to ask then is that with LED still around, do you still get both types of bulb? And if you do, what are the differences? One better than the other?
That's a very good question, Lee. What happens, and the easiest way I could describe the difference in the technology, is that globes are very much like a globe you use at home, and they emit full spectrum light. So they have all sorts of light. You've got reds, yellows, infrared light is in there. It's all coming out of that globe, which is one of the reasons why globes are inefficient, because they're emitting all spectrums of light. There is some advantages to that. If you're a user who needs infrared, and we have a number of clients who need that for night vision work, it helps if you have a globe and then you can put an infrared filter over the top. The other thing with a full spectrum light is it tends to give slightly better color rendition of natural items.
You get warm color instead of just pure white.
Correct. And a good example with that is I would relate an LED to being a household fluoro. It's very efficient on light, gives a lot of light, and of course ours are far brighter than the relative brightness of a fluorescent light, but it's the same way most women wouldn't be tempted to put their makeup on underneath a fluorescent light, and the reason is because it's a narrow spectrum light and doesn't allow all the slight nuances of colour to show up. But of course it's far, far more efficient in terms of battery use.
Okay. Well, then I have to ask, because almost everything you're describing is tactical. What sort of things benefit regular people then?
There's a number of things there. Interestingly, when we first started in business, our main market was police. And since then, it's been the police, the military, and we've aimed at that market and serviced that as well as we can. What we've noticed is since then that there's been just regular people buy them, and usually when they've got a brother, son, daughter who might be in the services, they've bought them, and there's a number of reasons they buy them. First of all, and I will say this, and this probably relates to Father's Day very much in particular, it seems to be a particularly male phenomenon to want a quality tool or quality torch, and most people and most guys, if I would use it this way, have had a number of torches and never quite had something which really suits them. I think it almost goes back to the caveman theory of being able to control fire and at the press of a button having that look what I can do. I can light up my whole backyard with this one tiny little torch.
And I guess depending on the strength of the torch, you might actually be able to light up your whole backyard with fire.
Just a bit.
Let's hope it doesn't catch on fire. But so there's a huge benefit. We find that regular people buy them because they just like a quality item. And there's no question our torches are far more expensive. They range from, say, $100 up to about $1,300.
Whoa. What do you get for $1,300?
Yes.
that's no singular LED.
Actually, HID. They're very similar technology to what you see in a car headlight these days, though this would be brighter than that. And for a torch roughly the size of the biggest mag light, about 400 millimetres in length, you get a torch which will shine for a kilometre.
So alternate uses for a torch, replacing your car headlight and providing your own photo studio with your own light setup.
Yeah.
That's raised an interesting question for me, because we've seen in the past few months that laser technology has been banned by a lot of governments because of how far it extends, because it can theoretically hit airplanes. Can a torch, even an HID one that is expensive and probably isn't going to be used by irresponsible people, but can a torch theoretically do the same thing and light up an airspace by a plane?
There's no question that it's a very powerful torch. If it was, I think that you would probably, and being utterly realistic about it, is that a laser has a longer range because it's a very narrow beam there. But you would definitely be distracting to someone, especially to something like a helicopter, where it's looking, they would be looking downwards. With a plane, because they tend to have a long run-in, you know, you would be at a kilometre away, they'd be going past you fairly quickly when they're landing and would probably be able to avert their eyes. But that is actually an issue which has concerned us in the past.
And I was thinking the other option for one is that, say, your daughter's boyfriend is spending the night and you didn't want them to. It's a perfect way to get them up in the morning without throwing water on them.
You know, I prefer throwing water.
Yeah, of course you would, but I'm not a daughter, so, you know, get over it.
The strobe's very effective for that. It's extremely aggravating. As I said, it's just like one of the camera pre-flashes, except it doesn't stop after 5 or 10 seconds. And
can you actually go blind from looking at one of these for a longer period of time?
I actually don't know the answer to that, but you'd feel very aggravated, to say the least. it's actually a common technique that is in terms of self-defense.
Just to disorient the person.
Absolutely. It would easily give you 5 or 10 seconds where they become night blind because of the bright light. And what happens is the pupil shrinks because of the very bright light. And then once the light source is removed, they are not able to see because their pupil is now too small to be able to let in enough light once the light source is removed.
And it's actually a lot safer than something like pepper spray or a taser.
The reality is these days it's a very rough job for police out there.
Absolutely.
And all the tools we can give them, the better. So, but also, it's quite a reasonable tool for an individual also.
There you go.
Glenn Kerr from Warfires on that one. And see, that's the perfect Father's Day present. A torch they can use to make the boyfriends of their daughters fall on the floor in agony with, epilepsy.
So you don't think that the Horseman VCC Pro Technical Camera Movement Adapter...
Not buying it for you.
...that gives you full shift swings and tilts on your DSLR. You don't think for US $2,000 would be an ideal present for your father?
You know what, Dad? Despite the fact that we don't often bring family stuff into this, no, I am not going to buy you one of those. I wouldn't buy one of those for me. Do you seriously think I love you that much I'm going to go buy that for you?
Some son you turned out to be.
Hey, some son I turned out to be. Hey, but at least I'm playing some Australian music, getting my quota sort of somewhat in there tonight. This is Dappled Cities with The Answer Is Zero. Oh. 88.1 Radio 2RDJ. This is the end of the Gadget Grill. Unfortunately, we've shown our lights too far, and we have found the end of the tunnel. And we've found at the end of the tunnel, John Coltrane is actually playing. Does that mean we're dead and we've gone to heaven and we're actually seeing Train? Do you want to turn it down a bit so I can actually speak?
Yeah, I'll turn it down a little bit.
So we're at the end and we found Coltrane there, and our good mate John is going to play Train Slow Blues, which I think is his own piece.
Yep.
And we'll see you again next week. Next week we're talking to people at the ABC, correct?
We are talking to people at the ABC. We have arranged interviews this week.
We're going to go see Mum.
We're going to see Mum, yeah. We've got something just a little bit different, something very interesting. In the meantime, go shopping for... Start thinking about what you want for your father for Father's Day.
Yeah, make sure they don't ask for $2,000 camera accessories because they'll just say, you know.
Maybe get them a Power Monkey. That could be something as an alternative idea.
Maybe, yeah. We'll talk about that next week as a possible thing.
Yeah, because I've got a new one, and we'll see how it goes. In the meantime, that's it for the Gadget Grill for Sunday. We hope you've enjoyed the show. We hope that you've learned something. We hope that you've
haven't enjoyed the show. We can't do anything for you.
We hope that that you've been entertained. We certainly have.
Oh, yes. Little bits.
Which I guess is something. At least somebody's entertained. My name's Gary Stark.
My name is Lee Stark, and I'm typing on the web right now. And we'll see you again next week on the Gadget Grill. Enjoy the rest of Coltrane.
We'll be back next Sunday night to RDJFM 88.1, 9 o'clock.
Have a good week, Australia.